taking shelter. Taking shelter of the most worthy source of shelter. Something that I learned when a group of us, we went to visit holy places in South India following the path that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed from place to place through South India. Some of you know this, some of you are new, so I'll go back. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his youth, lived in Navadvip. We were hearing this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. At the very young age of 24, he accepted sannyas. And at the request of his mother, instead of going to Vrindavan, he went to Puri. There he saw Lord Jagannath and had an ecstatic experience. He lost external consciousness in a swoon of ecstasy of love for Krishna. He delivered the chief priest of the king, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and his thousands and thousands of disciples, many of whom were sannyasis. They all became Krishna bhaktas by Lord Chaitanya's influence. He stayed in Puri for several months, and then on the pretext of looking for his brother, his elder brother, he began a tour of South India. The real purpose was to deliver the holy name. The pretext was visiting holy places and looking for his brother. So one of those holy places that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited was the place of surrender, the place where several personalities surrender. The headliner of them was Vibhishan. Vibhishan was one of the younger brothers of Ravana. And Vibhishan was just the opposite of Ravana. He was a Vaishnav, a devotee of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. He tried his level best multiple times to persuade his elder brother to return Sita and restore sanity to their kingdom, otherwise it would bring destruction to their whole dynasty. Ravana threatened him. Vibhishan left. And when Vibhishan left, he had some kind of mystic power. He just rose from the assembly. Following him were four ministers, and then he crossed the ocean, like Hanuman did, and came to the place where Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, and the Vanara soldiers were assembled. And he didn't just come before Lord Ram. He was very diplomatic. He hovered in the air with palms folded and requested, "Please carry a message to Lord Ramachandra. I'd like to take shelter of him." So the message was delivered. Playing the role of an ideal king, Ramchandra asked his ministers, "What do you think? What do you think? What do you think?" And the generals, and each one had something different to say. Then he turned to Hanuman, "What do you think?" Hanuman didn't speak up. He waited till he was called on, and Hanuman said, "Accept him. Even if he has some other motivation, he's come to the feet of Lord Ramachandra. He should be accepted." Lord Ramachandra said, I've already accepted him. In fact, I declare a very famous line from Ramayana. One who has even once said, I am yours, I surrender unto you, from that day forward, he will never have any fear and I'll always be his protector. So, the line of the followers of Ramanujacharya, Sri Vaishnavas, many of you know the Sri Vaishnavas, they have a commentary on that event indicating that the four ministers, is directly on our topic, and some more. The four ministers accompanying Vibhishan represent two qualities that one must have for taking shelter, and the two qualities for the person unto whom one is taking shelter. And there's Sanskrit terms, of course, that go with each of these. And they indicate almost the same thing as what I mentioned the first evening. Jiva Goswami says in Sharanapati, this text from Bhakti Sandarbha, Compliments of Bhanuswami, we have the translation in English from Sanskrit, 236, Sharanapati, very similar root as Sharanagati. So there's these, the first two elements is, I take full shelter of you, and the second one is, I have no other shelter. Which kind of sounds like the same thing, but it's one is inclusive and the other is exclusive. Because of time, I'm not going to expand. It's not the same thing. Inclusive and exclusive are not the same thing. And then the person unto whom one is taking shelter, the two terms are saralata, which is simplicity, straightforward, that Ram doesn't consider where you've come from, whether you're a monkey or a bear or a brother of Ravana, or wherever you've come from, doesn't matter. The simplicity is accepting the essence of that submission. And another is one has the strength to give protection. One should surrender where there's strength to give protection. And in our weekend together, the place where we're taking shelter is the Holy Name. And the Holy Name, we discussed this the first evening, the Holy Name is the same as Krishna. Abhina tvam nama namino. Nama and nami, the name and the object or the person named, are abhina, none different. So we're taking shelter of Krishna in the form of sound of his holy name. And from that sound of his holy name, within the sound of the holy name is the form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. Everything is, it's even tighter than a sutra. it's just a name. Within Krishna is everything. Krishna is everything, and within Krishna is everything, and his name is none different than him. So Sharanagati, these songs of Bhakti Vinod Thakur is our resource, but the meaning is. It's the life of a devotee. It's the life of transcendental life, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says of the chanting of the holy name. It's the life of our life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, connected immediately to our subject here, without Sharanagati, one will never get taste. I haven't really done like a formal survey or anything, but I can tell you that as a traveling sannyasi, one of the top five questions that comes again and again is this taste question. It's asked in different ways. When will I be able to go beyond mechanical chanting? When will I get a taste for the holy name? So, you know, the variations on the theme of, I've been chanting for so many years, and I'm going on, but basically nothing's happening. And I know that that's not right. It's meant that something is happening. I don't feel anything moving inside. When will that come? What do I need to do? Variations on the theme. And maybe some of the persons in this room can relate to the question, whether you've been chanting 1 year or 5 years or 20 years or 40 years. Many of you know Giriraj Maharaj because he comes and visits here often, and Dallas, of course, also. So he shared during one japa retreat, like we're doing, it was only the setting was a little different. He said, he's a wonderful storyteller, and of course his favorite storytelling is Prabhupada stories. And he was narrating one story that he was with Srila Prabhupada in, you know, the guest houses in Juhu. There's two towers, and Prabhupada's quarters is at the top of one of them, and they were newly constructed. In fact, everything hadn't been finished yet. And it was right after Mangalarti, and Giriraj Maharaj was upstairs with Prabhupada alone in his quarters. If those of you have been in his quarters, just picture in your mind what that must have been like. The sun has not yet come. It's Brahma Muhurta hour. And Giriraj Maharaj is sitting with Prabhupada and just the two of them chanting japa together. Makes your heart tingle, doesn't it? Just... And Giriraj Maharaj was narrating, saying, I was thinking, it can't get better than this. And they're chanting and chanting. And what great fortune to be sitting here with such a pure emissary of Krishna, just chanting the holy name of Krishna together. Suddenly Prabhupada stopped. And he looked at his bead bag and lifted the beads out of his bead bag, held them up in the air, looked at the beads, and said, it took me 30 years to perfect my chanting. And put his beads back in his bead bag and continued chanting. And Giriraj Maharaj narrated, I was thinking, wow, 30 years to perfect my chanting. And now after 40-something years thinking, if only in 30 years or 40 years or in this lifetime I can perfect my chanting. And that's Sharanagati. Again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, you can't come to the stage of ruchi or taste without Sharanagati. And so what is it that you can't get there without it? What to speak of ruchi or taste, then attachment, asakti, then bhava bhakti, the threshold of prema, bhakti. Sharanagati is essential. It is the life of whatever level of Krishna consciousness. It's this agati, to the Sharana, the place of shelter, and everything is there. Just from chanting one name, as we heard, Jiva Goswami, just one syllable, Krishna becomes attracted. He's attracted to that mood of surrender, not just something mechanical. Another one of my favorite, hope you don't mind, some of you have heard these over and over again, but it just, I find strength in some of these messages. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, chanting is not simply making a sound. You can make a machine that makes the sound. Or you can train a bird, a parrot, to make the sound. A long anecdotal story, but you can train parrots to say, Haribol, Rani, Haribol. But that's not chanting. Rather, Bhakti Siddhanta says, when the heart calls out, oh, Lord Nityananda, you are the deliverer of the pure holy name. And if you're merciful upon this soul that's hankering for association with Krishna again, please deliver the pure holy name. And when that pure holy name touches the heart, the same lips and the same tongue call out Krishna's name. That's chanting. So how to go from the mechanical no taste? It's through this Sharanagati process, awakening of the desire. The seed of that desire is there in the heart already. We all have, as mentioned, we're part and parcel of Krishna. It's absolutely our nature to be in a relationship of loving service with Krishna. It's our nature. It's not something outside of ourselves we have to import and install it on our hard drive or something. It's already there. Just need to be awakened, and the holy name of Krishna, this Maha Mantra, awakens that. That's already there. And that awakening is the desire to be in Krishna's service and the strengthening of that being in the eternal loving service of Krishna. Strengthening that, that's this Sharanagati process. It's the life of a devotee. Say the opposite. If we don't have that, we don't have life. Say it positively. Having that, that's life. There's so many ways of saying the same thing. The essential verse of the whole of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's secondary messages within that verse, and the primary message is Sarup Lakshana. The primary characteristic of bhakti is this submission, Anukul Yena. The desire to be in Krishna's service. And every day, in kirtan and or chanting japa, or any way that we call Krishna's name, it's the opportunity of the same Sharanagati, submission of ourself at the tongue and the ear and the body, in the form of various forms of service, but the primary is this from the heart, submission. And our whole weekend together is to further that along to some degree. Strengthen and deepen that mood of surrender. There's so many supports that our acharyas have given us, among them these wonderful Sharanagati songs. A little bit, I don't know if Badahari went into this, but just a little bit about the structure, because I went back and checked the 30 songs. The introductory song, Thus, six songs on humility, and then the purpose of that humility, or the fruit of the tree of humility, is Atmanivedana. If one, as humility matures, so also the submission, the dedication of self, Krishna, I am yours, grows. And there's seven of those songs on the Atmanivedana topic. We covered, at least, you know, the session that I led this morning, just one of the first of the six. So that's total is 14. 1 + 6 + 7. 14. And then the remaining four, they have four songs. So 4 × 4 = 16 + 14 = 30. So the flow is a very logical, natural flow. So just to do this overview, and then we'll go to three songs, and then we'll finish. So from humility, Atmanivedana, and when one finds oneself in that position of dedicated unto Krishna, there's a certain sense of protection and belonging under Krishna's care. So the next two, they're similar but different. As mentioned, the sense that Krishna is my maintainer. Now, we all have certain needs. Needs of our body, needs of our mind, needs of nourishment of our intelligence. Krishna is the supplier of all those things. Like, you know, our ideal standard is the residents of Vrindavan. They are Krishna's in their village, the village of Vrindavan, and although he's a little boy, they're Krishna's. Whatever their relationship is, the parents, parental affection, all of the different rasas, Krishna's at the center. And when there's any difficulty, they turn to Krishna. He's just a little boy. The acharya is described like this. When there's some danger, they consider, like Aristasura. Aristasura has come to town. They turn to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Because they recall the words of Gargamuni. When the name-giving ceremony of Krishna was performed, Gargamuni said, this son will have powers like Narayana. He was careful not to say he is Narayana. Although he knew he was Narayana, he didn't want to disturb their mood of devotion. He has powers like Narayana. So he'll protect us. They felt that. Not just because Gargamuni said it, but they felt that within the core of their hearts and within their whole being. Krishna is their maintainer, and Krishna is their protector. Just like a small child. Shishiradha Nila Madhava ki. I was in an airport in China, and there was a little child crying, not just crying, wailing. They got separated from mother and father. And different parents, they were looking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? They were looking, where is mom and dad? And other mothers tried to go and comfort the child, but no good, because that's not mommy. It had to be mommy. And I don't know it was a long time. The poor child was screaming. And as soon as there was mommy, the arms of the child went like this, and mommy picked up the child, a few pats on the back, and it was over. That's Sharanagati. Now, there has to be a hankering for shelter, otherwise we'll be mechanical and not devotional, not make that connection. But this, so the first series of songs is very logically, I can't do this on my own. I made a mess. And I'm bearing the consequences of that mess. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, and now I'm an old man. And I'm feeble. And what to do? This is what to do. And if ordinary mother and father know exactly, it doesn't matter, I don't speak Chinese, but you know, I know what that means. And so do they. And the child was pacified. And so that mood of the dānya is the first element. And then the dedication. Then Krishna will maintain me. And Krishna will provide protection. Another Prabhupada story I like a lot. Little boy walking along the street, holding the hand of his father. And they're walking along. The boy is feeling very safe. Here comes a dog, woof woof, showing his teeth. Rawr, rawr. And the little boy looks at his father, and he's very contented. He's not afraid at all. He's not afraid at all. Because he knows my father has always protected me. It's sanata. And those that are not in the position of surrender is anata. We have no Lord, we have no Master, we have no protector. We're on our own. It's a fearful situation. Material life. To say otherwise, you know, like that little decal, no fear. I'm sure they have it in Texas. I say outside of Texas, they must have it here. No fear. It's a bluff. Because material existence is a fearful place. You don't know what's going to happen the next moment. Bhayam dutiya abhiniveshita ksyat. In the language of the Bhagavatam. Dutiyam abhinivesha means taking shelter in something other. Dvitiya, something other than Ishad Epetasya Viparyayo Smritihi. Mind just becomes bewildered. And you can't think straight. You can't remember Krishna. Your thoughts go anywhere but Krishna. Just like when you put your hand in your bead bag and start to chant. Where does the mind go? Anywhere but the holy name, right? Viparyayo smritihi. So that's the material circumstance, beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam. It's recognizing that situation is the dānya factor. I can't do this on my own. Well, just here's a practical one. Anyone who has tried, sincerely tried to be fully attentive to the holy name will get very quickly a realization, I can't do this. On my own, I can't do this. I need strength from another source besides my own effort. That's, you know, go beyond false ego. That's the bhakti factor can dissolve false ego and the material mind and bring you to Krishna. Bhakti has that power. So this Sharanagati is the life of bhakti. So following those four topics, humility, dedication of self, feeling Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna is my protector, the remaining two sections of Sharanagati are accepting things favorable, rejecting things unfavorable. Unsteady bhakti is characterized by, even when I know things are favorable, I don't always do them. And when I know things are unfavorable, I don't always avoid them. But the Sharanagata bhakta follows that principle. Why? Because they have a very strong sense of dedication of self. So the strength to give up things that are unwholesome and embrace things that are beneficial. The strength comes from that dedication of self that flows from humility. Recognizing I can't do this on my own. Then there's a whole other section. 13 verses, it's another section on describing bhajan. Bhajan, devotional activity, devotional practice. Just, this is a structure of the Sharanagati song book or collection of songs. So nine of them are just simply describing Rupa Goswami's teachings in Upadesha Amrita, Nectar of Instruction, probably out there on the book table, Nectar of Instruction. He's taking, it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur has deeply studied the scripture, and he's conveying the feeling and the message of the scripture in the form of these beautiful songs. Then the final four are, I'm going to refer to one of those verses from the final four, Bhajan Lalasa, is details of the stages of that effort of Sharanagati in coming to the stage that Lord Chaitanya came to give. As he says at the very beginning introductory song, he came to give this process of Sharanagati, and that's to take us to the kind of love that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. Just hold on to Krishna's hand. Hold on to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's hand. It'll take you to Krishna's feet. And where there's this umbrella-like feeling that the unwanted part of material existence, you're under the protection of the umbrella, whether it's the rain or the scorching heat or whatever, the umbrella protects you, but little fine particles of nectar are being showered. That's the place where Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to take us through these songs. And it's our effort in the time spent today so that we're prepared for tomorrow. So I just mentioned something and then we'll go on to the songs. That the tomorrow, characteristically, you describe this final day of our retreat together as our 64 round day. And since Chirag chanted 16 rounds this morning, maybe he'll be with us to chant a good number of rounds tomorrow. We're not going to hold them to any commitment, but he'll be observing Mona Vrata for sure. And that's going to help him as it will help us. You'll see tomorrow, Mona it has its own power, especially when the material sound is checked or any other conversation about anything. As you observe Mona Vrata, it gives concentration to the mind. There's a devotee I know that they made a little experiment with Mona Monavrata, in their workplace. Really? In their workplace? They experimented. So in the after, not in the morning, then during lunchtime, an hour after lunchtime, so something like 3 to 4 o'clock or 3:30 to 4:30 or something like that, they made a Monavrata, unless they had to interrupt, because generally by that time people are just doing their work and there's not a lot of other conversation. So they just observed Monavrata from 3 to 4. And they found from doing that, there was strength. And it made them not only control the tongue, but their thought went to Krishna more. Because why am I doing this? It's to help strengthen my process of thinking of Krishna and staying in a place of shelter with Krishna, not just for the material purpose, but for the transcendental achievement of deepening one's thought and dedication and devotion to Krishna. So tomorrow, Monavrata, please. Unless you have to speak something to your children or something or other, but, you know, please observe. And the dedication is deepening our taking of shelter to the holy name of Krishna, who is Krishna. And so all of these songs and wonderful messages are to provide support and strength for that purpose. Okay, so now three songs, in addition to ones that you've already been hearing. This first song is an ISKCON favorite, Manasa Deha Geha. And it's from the Atmanivedana section. And the theme is body, because atma it means the self, but it can also mean body and mind. So body, mind, and self, and home, and paraphernalia, and you name it. He's good. Both I and mine are to be dedicated to Krishna in his service. So let's go. He's really on top of it, I'll tell you.
Mama, dear, love, जो इच्छा तोहारा नित्य दास प्रति दुआ आदि कारा जन्मा बिना इच्छा जादि तो बाहिर मुखा ब्रह्मा जन्मे नाहिया मुक्ति प्रहाविना जे भागता या भाई ते का संगा दायितातना प्रभु गुरु पति तुहु सर्वानु विनोदा कहे सुनो काना भक्ति विनोदा कहे सुनो काना राधा नाता तू हमार पारा राधानाथ तू हो हमार पाराना। हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे।
हरे रामा हरे राम 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 हरे
हरे। Back to the beginning. Somehow this has managed to be a very popular song in ISKCON, Manasa Deha Geha. The mood is setting aside false shelters, an essential part of surrender, dedicating oneself fully, no false ego, no temporary shelters, permanent shelter in the personality of Godhead. Mind, body, family, whatever else may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. Sounds like a wedding vow. In good fortune or bad, in life or in death, all my difficulties have disappeared by accepting those feet of yours as my only shelter. It's not, to repeat a message from earlier, it's not that you don't have to go to work anymore because everything is just going to be taken care of. Just lie in a hammock and sip lemonade and everything's going to be taken care of. We still actively engage in our service to Krishna. And we're dependent not on our own effort, we're dependent upon the mercy of Krishna. Because, after all, Krishna is the ability in man. Someone can sing nicely, someone can dress the deity nicely, someone can make nice plans for constructing a temple, someone can take care of the accounting, someone can clean the floor nicely, someone can etc., etc. Whatever ability anyone has to do anything, this Atma Nivedana is the dedication of all of that, with no independent false ego doership mentality involved. Full dedication. And in that full dedication, the duality of material life is still around us. It's hot in the summer and cold in the winter. The duality is still around us, but our happiness is not determined by whether it's hot or cold or somewhere in between. We do needful when it's hot and needful when it's cold, and our happiness is not whether it's hot or cold. Our happiness is our position of shelter in Krishna. Or we become attached to sat instead of asat. That's the position of happiness. Yes, next. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you have full authority over your eternal servant, similar to the mood of Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastakam. You can do with me whatever you like. I'm your servant. You can embrace me. You can neglect me. You can trample me. You can do whatever you like, because I am yours. And fortunately, the Master is merciful. He's not going to be negligent. But the mood of surrender is, do with me as you wish. You have full authority. If it is your wish that I be born again, then may I take birth in the home of your devotee. Now this Krishna wants us to come back to him. But Krishna may, for some reason or other, give us some other situation other than back to him. And if that is what he desires, let it just be a position where I can engage in some service. That's all. Next. May I be born again even as a worm as long as I remain your devotee. I don't know any devotee worms. But supposing there is such a thing, if there is such a thing, then I opt for that as opposed to the post of Brahma who is averse to you. Now there's no such thing as Brahma who is averse to Krishna because Brahma is the topmost devotee. But if that was a choice, a worm devotee or a Brahma non-devotee, I'll take the worm devotee position. In other words, I'm not looking for honor, position, distinction. I'm looking for the position of being in service to Krishna. That's all. That's this Atma Nivedana message. Next. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Very nice section amongst many nice sections of the Bhagavatam where this mood and message is expressed, where Prahlad is being asked directly by Lord Nrisimhadev, please take a benediction. And Prahlad's reply is, please don't ask me to take a benediction. Because our relationship is not a business relationship where I do something for you and you do something for me and you're asking me to take something from you. That's not a relationship. It's I am the servant and you're the master and there's nothing else between us. In fact, if the master then wants to give something to the servant, because you've done something for me, I want to give something to you, then that's not a good master. The master just simply accepts service. But if you want to give me something, then the something is, please take from my heart any desire for anything other than you. Of course, he's already demonstrated there's nothing in his heart for anything other than his relationship with the Supreme Lord. But if there's anything else, residual anything else, please take that away. That's the benediction. And what is his other desire? He expresses, I want the association of Narada or devotees like Narada because they can train me up how to serve you better. Because that wish to be in your service is already there and I want their association. I want Sadhu Sangha, I want the association of those who have no hankering for anything material and even this liberation idea. They just want your service. I want those persons' association, please. Next. Father, mother, lover, son, Lord, preceptor, and husband, you're everything to me. Nice image, the devotee is praying at the feet of the Supreme Lord, taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, and my needs in all respects are met by you and your lotus feet. The hankering for happiness of any kind is met fully in the shelter of the personality of Godhead. Next. Finally, Bhaktivinoda says, oh, Kana, Please hear me, O Lord of Radha. You are my life and soul, this Atma Nivedana message. So, I want to go to the next song, O Hey Vaishnav Thakur, yes? So, continuing, there's six other, or total of seven, dedication of self messages in this section, Atma Nivedana. Then, Goptritve, Varanam Tava. Mentioned this in the morning, I'll say it again, this position of seeing the Lord as one's maintainer. This is the, in Jiva Goswami's language, this is the angi of the primary limb of surrender. You are my maintainer. And the others are angas, or extensions, secondary to that primary one. Of course, without humility, without dedication of self, it's not going to happen anyway. But in that position, in that mood, it brings it to fullness. You maintain me. You're my everything. Then you're my protector and accepting and rejecting everything. So favorable, unfavorable. Then comes this Bhajana Lalasa section. This is the song is being selected in part because it's one of the popular songs in ISKCON, but it's the hankering for Krishna's service. And that hankering for Krishna's service displaces, like the question made earlier, of desires for sense enjoyment. It's the nature of the material world. We're here, we have a set of senses because we desire to enjoy the objects of the senses. So we're provided senses that then have this itching or hankering for sense enjoyment. And it's a pushing agent that pushes people all over the place, all over the planet through different species of life. The antidote that dissolves that is this hankering for service to Krishna, that the fruit of this process of Sharanagati. So let's sing that song together. O Hey Vaishnav Thakur.
O Hey Vaishnav Thakura, Doyara Sagara, Idase Koruna Kori. O He Thakura, Doyara Sagara, Nidase Koruna Kori. Dhori, me chaya dosha shodi chaya guna deho dase
strong desire for direct service to Krishna. And it's a mystery that direct service to Krishna is available only through the representatives of Krishna. Sounds like a contradiction. Direct service of Krishna is available only through the associates of Krishna, the Vaishnavas. But it's not a contradiction. It appears a contradiction. It's the nature of love. It's Krishna's arrangement or Krishna's terms or Krishna's plan that persons who want to be with him are with him in the company of and through the transparent medium of his loving associates. That's direct association with Krishna and not otherwise. There's many verses. Famous in ISKCON is Prabhupada's making reference to the Adi Purana, where Krishna says to Arjuna, one who claims to be my devotee, he's not my devotee. But one who is the devotee of my devotee, that's my devotee. It's Krishna's arrangement. So the Vaishnav Thakur is the means of gaining the direct, not indirect, association of Krishna. Another example, very simple. Prabhupada would give us such simple examples so we can understand things that are subtle. My vision is okay, but without corrective lenses, I can't see Krishna very well. He's there, but when I use my eyeglasses, then I can see the form of Krishna and Radha very clearly. So the seeing is direct, but the medium through the seeing is the transparent lens. The seeing is direct, but the medium is the transparent lens. So the medium of Krishna and his is through the medium of the devotee, the Vaishnav Thakur, is the way by which we get Krishna's association and the mercy of Krishna. Could you move that microphone stand because I can't see the screen? Just slide it out of the way. Okay, fantastic. Now I can see the screen. Thanks. O venerable Vaishnav, O ocean of mercy, be merciful unto your servant. Give me the shade of your lotus feet and purify me. I hold on to your lotus feet. Next. Teach me to control my six passions, rectify my six faults. Bestow upon me the six qualities and offer unto me the six kinds of holy association. So now, it's just invoking teachings of Upadeshamrita in various ways. So this is Rupa Goswami is that venerable Vaishnav that gives the teachings of instruction, nectar of instruction. And he's appealing not just for the information, the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song here is the mood of calling, the mood of hankering, the mood of desire for spiritual attainment, for shelter in Krishna, the ways of Sharanagati that bring one to the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That's what spiritual teachings are for. Next. I do not find the strength to carry on alone the Sankirtan of the holy name of Hari. Tomorrow morning when you begin your 64 round day, pay your obeisances to your beads. And there are prayers, there's standard prayers for Vaishnavas to offer prayers to their beads before they begin their chanting. Some of you have read, well, at least know of, Mother Jamuna. When we had in the farm project in Western Canada, Sharanagati, she taught us these prayers that she would say every morning. There are four or five prayers that are prayers to the beads and the name before beginning chanting, that submission to the medium that can carry us further to the stage of perfection. So on my own, this mood of humility is a calling for descending mercy. I'm not able to do this on my own. All these nice things described in the previous verse. I can't do it alone. Please bless me by giving me just one drop of faith with which to obtain the great treasure of the holy name of Krishna, the necessary price to pay for the pure holy name is faith. For the holy name of any kind, even Abbas Nam, there has to be some faith. But the pure holy name requires great faith. And that without faith, we're simply struggling with the material energy, starting with the mind. Whew, what a struggle. We've all been through it. And who wins? Every time the mind wins, because it's very, very balavat, very, very strong, very obstinate, very flickering, very difficult to control. We can't do it on our own. We require this strength that is purchased by faith. So he's asking for a drop of faith with which to obtain the great treasure of the holy name of Krishna. Next. Krishna is yours. He's speaking to the Vaishnav. Krishna is yours. Semicolon. You have the power to give him to me. I am simply running behind you, shouting, Krishna, Krishna. This word, Kagala. Is there a word in Hindi that's similar? Same word, right? Beggar. Mendicant, beggar. Huh? Kandal. So, this is his mood. Don't just take the information. This is the fifth time I'm saying this. Don't just take the information. It's the mood, the calling, the appeal, the strong desire for spiritual attainment. Spiritual attainment requires mercy because we can't do this on our own. So, like a beggar, recognizing within the personality of Vaishnavas, there's this, Krishna has given himself, Krishna has given power of attorney to those Vaishnavas. You can give me to whoever you like. Krishna is very kind. And he gives that power to his devotee. So we should revere those devotees that have that power. Next. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. So this is this bhajana lalasa song, O Hey Vaishnav Thakur. Again, a standard favorite within ISKCON. And just a comment is, many of these songs, they are amalgamating Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and one of the great Vaishnava Acharyas in the Sri Sampradaya is Jamunacharya, and he, in his Stava Mala, made similar songs or sayings or poems or statements. And you look carefully at Stavamala and you'll see Bhaktivinoda Thakur has drawn from that very much. There's a lot of symmetry between our acharyas, even of different sampradayas. We're faithful and respectful and loyal to our sampradaya, and we're also respectful and appreciative of other teachings from other Vaishnava sampradayas. There's much similarity. Something that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to emphasize, a major part of his platform of speaking, or the basis of his teaching, was showing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought together or united teachings from all the sampradayas. He's the personality of Godhead. So, our next and final song, for my session at least, goes to this position of Krishna being the protector and maintainer of his devotee. Vishvash Palana. Krishna is my protector. The one way to describe this is animal life has four propensities. We've heard Prabhupada teach this over and over again: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So that's something we have in common with animals. There's something distinct, how we can see the Lord as our protector, and so forth. But of the four animal propensities, the strongest one is protection, or defending. One may be eating, sleeping, or even mating, and if there's danger, you abandon those things and you do this one thing. You defend or protect. And so fear is in the mind of one who doesn't have the sense of being protected. One has to always protect. And material life is filled with people protecting their turf or their accumulated possessions or their well-being or their reputation or their ego. And one doesn't need any of that if one is actually feeling the protection of Krishna. So it's incremental, the levels of feeling Krishna's protection up to the level of the residents of Vrindavan. Not that in the residents of Vrindavan there's no difficulty. There's fire. There's two forest fires. And they're protectors of cows, so it's not just them, it's their cows. But Krishna is their protector. Krishna swallows the forest fire. He can create a situation of calamity and remove the calamity, just like that. The devotee is progressively feeling Krishna's protection. So let's go on.
Charana, ye kona. तपस्या करीला Hey, come on,
Doesn't she sing very nicely? But every good student needs a good teacher. And what she has learned is, comes from Badahari Prabhu. Something that I learned from Gaurijan, Prabhupada told him, there was a unique circumstance, but Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means you learn something, you become expert at that something, and you teach that something to others, that is Krishna consciousness. So Badahari has fulfilled that instruction of Prabhupada. And this nice student over here is, that's our succession plan for what Krishna has given to him, has now given to you, and you in turn give to others, and that's Krishna consciousness. It's not simply the gift of a nice voice. There are lots of people with nice voices I have no interest at all in hearing. But it's the devotion, and devotion comes from association with devotees. That's our Ohe Vaishnav Thakur message. So this is from the section of Vishvas Palana. The Lord is one's protector. And leaving aside the animal propensity of protecting oneself, one feels in the position of Atmanivedana that Krishna is now my protector. Which doesn't mean I become complacent or lazy or careless. You don't go walking across the freeway thinking, Krishna is my protector, Hari Bol. We don't take foolish risks thinking Krishna is my protector. We, mindful of our position of being in Krishna's service, we go forward carrying the order of our teachers and our guides and our spiritual master. And while doing so, that the atmosphere, the place where we are, is a dangerous place. But we're feeling protected. The absence of fear is the feeling of protection. And that is, ultimately, Krishna is my protector. And if Krishna wants to protect one, Rake Krishna Marike, no one can harm him. And Krishna wants to destroy somebody, no one can protect him. That's so we taking that place of shelter with Krishna. Now I have understood, O Lord, that your feet are eternally full of sweet nectar that dispels all sorrow and fear. The feet of Krishna. Next. Surrendering myself and all I possess unto those feet, I have laid myself down submissively under their shelter. That's the Atmanivedana. And then the understanding of that is, you're my Natha, you're my Lord and Master. Next. Your lotus feet, O Lord, will certainly shelter me. There are no other protectors in this world of birth and death. Again, this is casting aside other shelters in this dedication of self to Krishna. Next. At last, I know myself to be your eternal servant. Now, the burden of my maintenance is exclusively yours. And again, this doesn't mean now I'm lazy and go on social welfare. It means as I'm working, I'm in full dependence upon you as my maintainer. The ability to do my work comes from you. The work that's being done is for you, utilizing the gifts you have given. And as you've given the gifts to walk across the floor and pay obeisances and dress the deity and cook the offering and do whatever, I'm fully dependent upon you. And in this way, you are my maintainer. Next. In my life of independence from you, I have experienced nothing but misery. But now, upon accepting those feet of yours, all my miseries have been cast far away. Bodo dukkha. Next. Desiring a place at your lotus feet, the goddess of fortune performed difficult austerities. Only after receiving your feet did Lord Shiva attain his Shivatva, or quality of auspiciousness. So the next few verses are most exalted, perfected souls that are in their position similarly taking shelter of your lotus feet. The auspiciousness, Shivatva, of Shiva is received from the personality of Godhead, that person whom Lord Shiva is meditating upon. Next. Upon obtaining your feet, Lord Brahma had his desires fulfilled. Your feet are always held by the great sage Narada Muni within his heart. These are, of course, our line of disciplic succession is Brahma and Narada. And they attained everything from the same as the followers of them are to attain whatever it is that Krishna wishes to give us. Next. I now hold on my head those very same lotus feet which drive away all fear while I dance in great ecstasy singing their glories. This is this Vibhishan image where he's surrendering unto Lord Ram and his ministers behind him. Surrendering unto the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra. Next. Your lotus feet will surely deliver Bhakti Vinod from the dangerous perils of this worldly journey. Just look at that painting. Such an intense eyes and facial expression. He's absorbed in the chanting of the holy name, absorbed in the message of the scripture, absorbed in compassionately sacrificing everything to give that same mercy to all of us. And he's pointing to the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead as the destination, the gati, the goal, the object of submission and surrender, can take us beyond the dangerous perils of this worldly journey. It sounds reassuring, and it is, one who takes that position. So, all of these messages, and again, Radhakrishna Prabhu will speak something further, all of this is intended minimally to give us inspiration and tools and resources to help us tomorrow. So I'm invoking what our activity tomorrow is going to be, this 64-round day. And many persons that take part in the 64-round day go way beyond 64 rounds. Sometimes it's amazing. Little kids will chant, 86 rounds, and who knows if they even are using the same number of beads on their string as we have. But in the enthusiasm of devotee association and focusing, it becomes very easy. So because I'm not going to be speaking again until tomorrow morning, I'll just say a few things. I'll say them again tomorrow. Three things. Get good rest tonight so that you're ready for tomorrow, for a good, strong day of nonstop chanting, taking shelter. That sound vibration will be in the air. And that sound vibration is Krishna. And we're taking shelter in that sound vibration. There has to be an eagerness to be in Krishna's shelter, to feel that connectedness and enlivened throughout. So in the mood of increasing the hankering for that shelter, all of these things are intended to be useful for you. And in the course of the day, just like in a moment, I'm going to ask you to offer a prayer to Radha Neela Madhava for tomorrow, for the things that you've heard today, and let them go into your heart and chant from that position, from your heart. And be ready for a journey that you don't know exactly where it's going to take you, except that it's going to be closer to Krishna somehow. And with that determination and that intention, it's a great adventure. So rest well, and some advice. During the day tomorrow, eat modestly. I learned the hard way. Whatever you're accustomed to eating, eat a little bit less than that. Even you may be accustomed to eating your normal, eat a little bit less, because it'll help your attentiveness. It's not the normal thing you do every day is chant 64 rounds, so stay strong and focused and calling out in a feeling way, Kandiya, Kandiya. So let us face Radha Neela Madhava for 3 minutes and contemplate things, messages that you've heard in the course of our time together so far, and something that you wish to share with them, your heart, and taking shelter of the holy name, ideally specifically with some of the resources that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has provided in his wonderful songs to assist you tomorrow. So we have just a few minutes. Any comments or questions from anyone? Look at this little boy in his fancy dhoti. You're the best little brahmachari in the house here today. Anyone?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yesterday you mentioned about while chanting, focus on the sound vibration. Can you please explain more about sound vibration means just hearing to it? Because sometimes I feel like, you know, it's mechanical, just hearing without any mood or anything. Actually, you know, sound vibration, how to listen to, you know, sound vibration.
I'm going to say something, and can you give the microphone to Badahari? I'd like him to say something on this question. Because I know this is one of his favorite questions. So, it's attention. Now, sound is not just something amorphous. Particularly spiritual sound, even material sound, is not amorphous. It can move matter. Material sound can move matter. And spiritual sound can more than move matter. It can move consciousness to the spiritual position. So, how to give attention to sound, what does it mean? It's, everything is there. It's the faith, it requires faith, but the teaching of the scriptures says everything is there. Within Krishna's name is everything, because within Krishna is everything. That means Krishna is not alone. Krishna is in his spiritual abode, his dham. So within the name is the dham. And within Goloka is Govardhan Hill and Krishna's cows and cowherd boys and Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj and the river Jamuna and the whole spiritual world. It's packed in that sound vibration of Krishna, in Krishna's form, Krishna's sweet pastimes, Krishna's wonderful qualities. It's all there. We're dull. The difficulty is not the name. The difficulty is our dullness. We're lazy, misguided, disturbed, Kali Yuga-ized to the max. So the problem is over here, not there. But so how to hear is with faith. That the name and the person are non-different. In fact, this is one of the teachings of Bhaktivinoda that is essential to enter more deeply into the holy name is recognizing that. So that requires faith, because how do we know? Well, through scripture we know. That's how we know. We haven't realized it yet, but we know it's a fact. So with faith in the fact that the name and the person are non-different, we hear. We give our attention with faith to the sound and try to keep our attention there with the sound. Now it's difficult because so many other things we're accustomed to having our attention and our mind go to. So the mind wants to go to all those things. I said it earlier, say it again, no harm saying it 100 times. Intention is what's important. You could say, why? Why are we chanting? There's a purpose, there's an intention. And then attention goes where intention is situated. Where the heart is, that's where your attention goes. If you have a very strong intention of being with Krishna, and this is the means scripture has given to be with Krishna, there isn't a better means in this age. There's other means, but there's the very best of all means. And any other means, like deity worship, is to be accompanied by chanting. Praying is to be accompanied by chanting. Any of the other processes of bhakti is to be accompanied by chanting. Why? It's the means of accessing Krishna. So the intention, when trying to hear attentively, is this is the means prescribed for us. It's the medicine that's for our disease. Our Kali Yuga specific disease is the sound of the holy name. It's the medicine. So I'm diseased. What do I know about what's good and bad for me? Through the good physician I know. And then I take the medicine, even if you take it as medicine. And the way to take the medicine, its effectiveness depends upon faith. Even if you, so, just to chant it all, there's some faith, otherwise you wouldn't. And then strengthen that faith in what the holy name is by hearing. That's the first two verses of Shikshastakam. The ending with, still, I have no attraction. Then the third verse. Humility, tolerance, offering respect to others, expecting no respect in return. So that gives us an indication of why and also how. Even when they don't have that attraction. These are qualities that are important so that attraction can arise. So that's part of the intention is, this is going to get me to the good place. I'm not in that good place. My heart's very hard. I'm distracted. I'm disturbed. I'm not very elevated spiritually. Nonetheless, I'm being given this, so that the humility and faith focused on the why, the intention of the activity. Not just the activity, the purpose behind the activity. With faith. And we hear it again and hear it again, and it helps that support that faith. And the company of others that also have that faith. Just like you take coal, there's been a fire and there's some burning embers. With a stick or some instrument, you bring the coals together. And very quickly, fire comes out again. Because you brought the coals together. So that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow. And this evening, during kirtan. And something happens. Bring that energy into a focused place. Attention collectively upon the holy name. Then it becomes easy. Chapter 6. So I'm going to keep the schedule and time for Nama Yajna. Huh? One question came online. Who's going to speak it? Do we have the microphone? Oh, Brother Hari, I'm sorry. You're passing, okay.
How to get the mood of Kangala while chanting? It feels so difficult.
Not at all difficult. The other is difficult. The other is just a struggle and struggle and struggle. And who likes the struggle? If you like the struggle, then find difficulty doing the struggle. Otherwise, recognize the reality of the situation is we're dependent. Letting go of our false sense of independence is an essential characteristic of surrender. It starts with humility. And without humility, then you can't be feeling yourself dependent. You're independent. So then to that person, have them read the first six songs of Sharanagati again and again. And just a little comment. Many of the questions that have been asked are answered in Sharanagati. There's no harm to ask them anyway and discuss them anyway, but just some appreciation that In these songs, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us a map how to get the treasure. We've inherited a treasure from some forefather. He left a map how to get the sacred treasure. The sacred treasure is a map. It's in Shikshastakam and it's in these Sharanagati songs. How to get the treasure of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord in that shelter. But many of these questions, they're found there. The answers are found. So, kirtan? Huh?
Maharaj, we made a small change.
So
in order for us to be chanting kirtan when we do a 7 o'clock kirtan, Radha Krishna Prabhu will speak now.
Wait a minute. Everyone's been very kind to sit here for 2.5 hours. And do you think it's okay that we add another hour? Who's made the schedule change? Spontaneous.
In order for the arati not to be interrupted during the arati. Because when Prabhuji is chanting kirtan, then you'll have to...
What time does the arati start?
7.
Help. I recommend that we have kirtan. And during arti, we can have a silent arti or something like that. But it's too much to ask of the audience to sit through another. I was even wondering, just immediately piggybacking on Shyam Sundar's wonderful stand-up, kind of like a comedian presentation. It was a little easier, but I've just had everybody sit here for 1.5 hours. They're going to be brain dead. Excuse me. They're a little fatigued from... Can we just leave the schedule the way it is, please? Safe. Yes, Maharaj.
Perfectly fine. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Kirtan. Padahar? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai.